Well, today I want to look at, I'm going to start by looking at two famous failed quests that we've been hearing about for a long, long time. The first one you may have heard of is the quest for the Holy Grail. Anyone heard of the quest for the Holy Grail? Anyone tried to find the Holy Grail? No, we didn't. The Holy Grail is the cup that people believe Jesus drank from at the Last Supper, or according to some belief, the grail is the cup that was used to catch the blood of Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. And according to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, if you drink from the cup, you get eternal life, right? But choose wisely, because if you choose poorly, bad things happen. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Many have looked for it. Many have wanted it. And a few years ago, some scientists claimed to have found it, but most likely they didn't, right? We will ultimately never know where it is. So any quest for the Holy Grail is ultimately a failed quest, an empty quest. The second is the quest for the Fountain of Youth. The Fountain of Youth. If only we could find that. According to legend, those who drink from the Fountain of Youth will be restored to their youthful beauty and will live forever, going on from old to young, if they keep continually drinking from the Fountain of Youth. Ponce de Leon was famous. He was linked to the search for the Fountain of Youth when he left Puerto Rico and ended up in the present-day Florida looking for the Fountain of Youth. Florida was the second prize, I guess, after the Fountain of Youth. Many have looked for it. Many have desired it. Many have searched for it. But once again, no one has ever found the Fountain of Youth, probably because it's not real. But anyway, another failed and empty quest. Ultimately, we search for things. We look for things that ultimately end up empty for us. They don't fill what we're actually looking for. And in passage today in Job 28, we continue our series in Proverbs, actually moving out of Proverbs and into the book of Job, but staying in the wisdom tradition. Job chapter 28 is a chapter about somebody being on a quest for something incredibly valuable to them, a search for wisdom. Where can wisdom be found? Job 28 seems to be very disconnected from the rest of the book. If you know the story, we've talked about it a few times in the last few weeks. It's about God allowing Satan to take everything away from a man named Job, his money, his possessions, his health, his family, to show how faithful Job is to God and to show Job how much God is all he needs. So as we said last week, three friends show up. They sit with him for 7 days. They mourn with him. After 7 days, they start talking, and that's where things start going downhill. In the midst of all the discussion, the back and the forth, there's Job 28 in the middle of this book. The chapter isn't assigned to any speakers that we know of. We don't know who's saying it. Some commentators think that this chapter is inserted into the book of Job by the author of the book to make a larger point. And the larger point is this, that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of Job's suffering, of having money and not having money, having possessions and not having possessions, having work to do and not having work to do, where is wisdom to be found? Is it found in money? Is it found in possessions? Is it found in work? Is it found in the things of this world? Or is wisdom found somewhere else? Where can wisdom be found? That's the question for today. The word wisdom itself, we know it begins with the fear of the Lord. We said that the first week. But the definition of wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, that is wisdom. Just by looking at that definition, wisdom is not something that can be bought, found, or uncovered. Wisdom can be acquired, though. We can acquire knowledge and judgment and experience. Wisdom used to be something that we held in very high regard in our society, but it's been replaced with other things like happiness. Am I happy? Am I happy here? And so the search for wisdom has kind of ended in many ways, but I say it's worth it to search for wisdom. It's worth it to find wisdom. So turn with me, Job 28. We're going to look through this passage today. It's on page 748, Job chapter 28 on 748. We're going to walk through it together. The chapter is the words of the author of the book of Job. I don't think it's any of the people. I don't even think it's Job speaking. I think the author has put Job 28 in here for a reason. The author, most likely a guy, just because in that time men were the ones who could read and write, so it was most likely a guy who wrote this, writes about their own personal experience in the hunt for wisdom. In this short poetic chapter, the author talks about all the different ways that he or she has tried to find wisdom. The places they have gone, the things they have seen, the stuff they've bought, the knowledge they've acquired, all for the sake of trying to find wisdom, and ultimately how they have failed completely at finding wisdom in the things of this world. The chapter is broken up into four sections. It starts with verses 1 through 11 is the first section. Second section begins with verse 12, where can wisdom be found? That runs 12 through 19. Third section begins in verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? That's verses 20, 21, and 22. And the last section is verse 23 to the end. God understands the way to it, to wisdom. So four sections. Let's look at the first part, verses 1 through 11. I know we already heard it, but I love this chapter so much, I'm going to read it again. There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recesses for ore and the blackest darkness. Far from human dwellings, they cut a shaft in places untouched by human feet. Far from other people, they dangle and sway. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Lapis lazuli comes from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. People assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see all its treasures. They search the sources of the rivers and bring hidden things to light. The author has some intimate knowledge about mining. He knows something about mining. Commentators think the author of this chapter was in fact a miner himself. He worked in the mining industry. He searched in the deepest, darkest places of mining. It was his vocation. It was his job. It's how he made ends meet. It's how he kept food on the table for his or her family. The author says in the first section, I searched, I worked hard, I mined for silver, I looked for gold, I went to the deepest, darkest places of this earth. That's where my job took me. I used my job to try and find wisdom. I worked and I worked and I worked to gain experience and knowledge. I thought that working would give me the satisfaction of finding wisdom. But he says, no, that failed me. That failed me. I could not find it there. I went to the darkest places and I could not find wisdom there. I sent out three articles this week. Hopefully some of you saw that in the midweek look ahead. Three different articles that have to do with this man's search for wisdom in Job 28. The first one was on working. The title says, more than half of U.S. workers are satisfied with their jobs. More than half. This was from September 2017. Okay, so that's good, I guess. You can go back and read the article, and it says who's satisfied and who's not satisfied, depending on the country or whatever, the state, I'm sorry. But as you read the article, you'll notice something, that in September of 2017, 53% of people were satisfied with their jobs. 10 years ago, less than half that were satisfied with their jobs. 20 years ago, more than 60% were satisfied. They project in 20 years, guess what? Less than 50% will be satisfied with their jobs again. That's almost 200 million people failing to find satisfaction and wisdom in their jobs alone. We're a society of job hoppers trying to find wisdom, going from job to job to job, and we aren't satisfied, and we wonder why we can't find wisdom. The author says, I searched the deepest parts. I worked at my job. I looked. I gave everything for the company. I was promoted. I moved on up. I had the best desk, the best office, the best view from the window in the whole building. But I never found satisfaction in that. I never found wisdom there. Has anyone been there before? Working and working and working and thinking you will find satisfaction in that alone. We cannot tie our satisfaction, our search for wisdom, on things that change from one season to the next, like a job or job security. Where is satisfaction to be found at work? Not in your own glory, not for the glory of the bottom line, but it's found in working for the glory of God. Whatever things you do, the small things, the big things, you work for the glory of God. Otherwise, you'll be like this author who is searching and searching in the mining industry, trying to find wisdom, but he cannot find it there. So verse 12, I can't find it in my job. Where else can wisdom be found? Verse 12, where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. So this author, he worked hard. When you work hard, hopefully, you gain money. And he had money. And he says, I was able to go buy everything my heart desired. I saw gold. I saw precious stones. I acquired onyx and ophir. But wisdom could not be found in these possessions. I could not buy wisdom with the possessions of this world. He's had money. He knows people who's had money. And he says, we were searching and we acquired and we gathered, but we were never satisfied. That never led us to wisdom. The second article I sent you from Time Magazine, this is why rich people aren't always happy. Okay, that's the title. First part of the article says this. Perhaps the adage, money can't buy happiness, has more truth than we think. That's because there are many studies that point to the conclusion that wealth and happiness are not positively correlated. Okay, we didn't need a study to do that. We could just read Job 28. It says right there. The author says he had money. He could buy any possession he wanted. And the gold and the beautiful gemstones that he acquired, when he held it up against true wisdom from God, he found them lacking. He found them dull. Have you ever seen dull gold? I haven't. But when compared to wisdom, he says, wow, that gold is really dull. It is lacking compared to the wisdom of knowing God. Article goes on to say this. A study found that generosity indicators, such as giving money, volunteering, and being available to friends, were highly correlated with happiness. Similarly, generosity had a positive effect on happiness in 93% of 136 countries studied. Giving money away leads to satisfaction, leads to greater wisdom with God. Here's Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. No wonder satisfaction and wisdom comes from giving money, not from acquiring it. Giving of possessions, not from acquiring it. Because as you give to the Lord. You give to the Lord. You do the work of the Lord. You learn to trust the Lord more. Turn with me, page 1484 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Page 1484. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Here's what Jesus has to say about that. 1484. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. On the ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Jesus talks about greed here, the abundance of possessions or money that we could acquire. Just like anger last week, it can become your master if you let it. Possessions can and will become your master if you let it. So this man comes to Jesus wanting a legal ruling. "What should I do with my brother? He wants my stuff. Jesus, tell me." And Jesus gives him a lesson about life instead. He says, "Your life, just like your possessions, are on loan to you. So why spend your life hoarding things that will never give you wisdom? Why spend your life on the things that will never give you wisdom?" Wisdom cannot be found in things. It cannot be found in money. Wisdom cannot be found in taking it easy, eating, drinking, and being merry all the time. What Jesus calls for this man to do is to give freely, give generously, like he's giving to God. And the author of Job 28, he realizes, "Hey, I acquired all these things, but when I held it up to the beauty of God and his wisdom, they were dull. They were not beautiful compared to God." So where can I find wisdom? I couldn't find it in my job. I can't find it in my possessions. Where can wisdom be found? Verse 20. "Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, 'Only a rumor of it has reached our ears.'" So this is a little more obscure, okay? This is the author saying, "Hey, I couldn't grasp wisdom. I couldn't see it with my eyes, so maybe it's something that's hidden from our eyes, something that cannot be grasped. Maybe wisdom is found in acquiring more knowledge. If I could get more knowledge, if I can learn and learn and learn, then maybe I can gain wisdom. Maybe if I read books, if I go to college, if I'd gotten to a better college, if whatever, maybe then I could acquire wisdom." Third article I sent: education may not improve our life chances of happiness. Look at that. Just like Job 28. Does more education make us happy? The article says, no, not in and of itself, it doesn't. Satisfaction, wisdom, happiness cannot be found outside of God. Wisdom is not found in simply knowing more and more and more. Wisdom is found somewhere else. Paul says so. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, right? We love to read that at weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is this, love is that. Probably a lot of us had that read at our weddings. It begins with this in 1 Corinthians 13, 2. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I can fathom anything, if I can understand all things, if I could grasp the mysteries of the universe, if I could wrap my mind around the things that have boggled people for years, if I could do all of that but did not have love, could not understand God's love for me, did not have love myself for God, then I have nothing." Do you see how that echoes Job 28? He's trying to find something out there: money, possessions, knowledge, but no, it's not found in those things. If I do not understand love, God's love for me, what do I have? So the fourth part, verse 23. "God understands the way to wisdom, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth, he sees everything under heaven. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, which we're having today, then he looked at wisdom and he appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, 'The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding.' He formed the earth, everything inside and outside. He established the powerful things of this world, the wind, the waters, the rains, the storms. And then verse 27, beautiful verse. He takes a look at wisdom, this wisdom, and he uses four verbs here, four verbs in the Hebrew. All of them have to do with a master jeweler who's appraising a precious jewel that they're holding in their hands. The first thing it says is he looked at wisdom. God looked at it. He can look at it. He saw it with his eyes. He didn't have to work to acquire it. He didn't need to purchase it. He didn't find it elusive. God has wisdom in his hand. Second, he appraised wisdom. He looked and he saw the surpassing worth of wisdom over all things. He says, this is worth more than any possession on this earth. Third thing is he confirmed wisdom. He said, look, wisdom, he made sure of its value in comparison to all things. Fourthly, he tested wisdom. He held up wisdom against all the things that the author has experienced, and he found wisdom to stand the test of time. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The author of Job goes and tries to find wisdom in the things of the world, but ultimately nothing satisfies him. And at the end, he mentions that wisdom is found not in this world, but true biblical wisdom is found in God, in knowing God, in loving God, in knowing that you are loved by God, that he loves you. That is the value of wisdom. 1 Corinthians, we heard it earlier, verse 30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is to know Jesus. Wisdom is to follow Jesus. Wisdom is to know that you are loved by Jesus. Wisdom is found in Christ alone. This morning as we close, you may find yourself relating to the temptations of Job 28. Maybe you are someone who worked your job and you worked hard and you worked for many, many years and you said to yourself, well, next year I'll find the thing that gives me wisdom. Next year when I get the promotion, when I get the new office, when I get whatever. But ultimately it's empty hope. You cannot find wisdom there. Maybe you're someone who's been saving money, acquiring possessions, eating, drinking, being merry, saying, well, maybe next year if I acquire enough, if I get enough, I'll find my wisdom and hope there. But no, it's an empty hope as well. Maybe you're someone who's trying to study. You're saying, I'm trying to get more knowledge, 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 knowledge. But remember what we said the first week, right? That knowledge is not equal to wisdom. Those aren't always the same thing. Of much study there is no end, it says in Ecclesiastes. That too is an empty hope. This chapter is only 28 verses. We could probably add our own verses of the things that we have tried to do to acquire wisdom. I tried to put my hope in this, in a relationship, in politics, in fill in the blank. But ultimately that was lacking as well. The hope of wisdom cannot be built on the things of this world. The hope of wisdom must begin with Jesus and his word as our foundation. In Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. He has freed us from our sin. He has made us right with God. He has made us pure and holy. We have freedom from sin. And unlike the fountain of youth, unlike the Holy Grail, we have true eternal life. I found the answer to eternal life. It's a quest that has an end. It's in Jesus. It is in Jesus. To give your life to Jesus, to call him Lord and Savior, that is true wisdom. Our memory verse today is Job chapter 28, verse 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Our hope, our wisdom, it must be built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. I want you to stand with me today. We're going to sing this hymn to close. My hope is built on nothing less, hymn 293. These, I think, echo the words of Job 28. He's looking for wisdom, and he realized, no, I can't build it on anything else other than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's sing together this morning.